Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the refs disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there. And sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high. Trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAY-FAM or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
My. Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
A New Jersey woman beat her 80-year-old mom to death with a broomstick, according to police. Handyman accused of defrauding an elderly woman of $118,000. And then a 1982 cold case murder solved by, you guessed it, DNA.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
That indeed it does. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes. New ones every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, and daily briefs all throughout the week. I was just thinking it would be really interesting on career day at a school when the kids are going into the person that, oh, they're a reporter, or they're a TV reporter or something, or a news anchor. What is that like? Well, here, kids, listen to this. And they just play that, this compilation of the worst snippets you could think of. And like, that's what my day consists of. Who wants to be one of me? And by the way, everybody hates you and thinks you're lying to them. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, they think you're lying. You could just be reading about the school closings and they think you're lying to them.
Oh my God, you are so right about that. Because like, there was... The other day I saw one of the local news stations did a story on COVID vaccinations. Oh my God. The comments. I can't even imagine being in news.
No.
Because it doesn't matter what you're going to post. They're going to hate you no matter what.
People don't. I mean, are there places that are slanted? Yes, sure as hell there are. But a lot of times your local newsroom, not so much.
And those are people that are making no money.
Yeah. And by the way, they make more if they were working for McDonald's. So give them a little. I mean, but the thing is, most of them don't even have like staffs anymore. And it's all, I mean, it's local news is a very sad state of affairs anywhere in this country right now. I mean, unless you're a major, major market, you don't have good local news. I heard the term the other day, news desert, where like the local papers are gone. There's not much of like a radio or TV presence in an area. And it's just a bunch of communities that no way of, it's just, yeah. And that it's insane. I mean, it's something I never, ever would have thought would exist like that, but maybe something will emerge out. Maybe we are staying, I don't know. That's a good argument to be made. Informed enough just through social media. We're being informed, but somebody has to
put those stories together. And I kind of think that sort of the demise of local news has kind of let a lot of the, because any more news stations are more pundit stations. Yeah. And so, you know, like a CNN or a Fox or any of those, it's just people giving their opinions. There's very few outlets that are actual news. Here is the story. We don't want to discuss it with someone who has an opinion about it.
The demise,
here's the story.
The demise of local news has resulted in a lot of crooked behavior in local communities, in city departments and all that sort of stuff, because there's no TV, there's no radio reporter, there's no newspaper reporter. There's nobody there to keep track of these things or to call BS out. And everybody loves the hero when they do that and they save the city from some sort of horrible thing that some crazy person was going to try and do or get people on, but there's no checks on it anymore.
BTK would have been hard to catch because that was his thing. He liked communicating with the local media, the TV station and the local paper. Now, like you could call that station all day long and ain't nobody going to answer.
I'm sure he'd, you're exactly right.
Good luck finding someone at the paper.
Yeah, no, it was really sad. Just the other day, I was driving over towards where my girlfriend works, and there's just a bunch of kind of empty office buildings in the area that are being redeveloped. And I was looking at this one that looks like they're starting to do some work on it, and I never really read what it was. And it was the old local newspaper for Northwest Arkansas, the Democrat or whatever it is. A big old newspaper building too, you know, where they would have their printing press and everything in there and a giant newsroom and all that. It's been sitting abandoned. Now they're in this tiny little building, I think downtown, and that's, you know, that's all they
have. Same here. It went from hundreds of people working there to like 20.
Yeah.
And it's not even printed here anymore. It's printed at Kansas City.
Oh.
So they have to print in Kansas City, then bring the paper here.
For all 13 people who
exactly
pick it up. Yeah.
Well, speaking of news, so you and I have been fascinated by the R. Kelly thing forever.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think probably that surviving R. Kelly thing really, when I watched that, it really was like, whoa, it was real eye opening for me.
Yeah.
He's back in court again. Mm-hmm. And this time it's a trial fixing case. Have you kept up with this much?
I haven't.
It really doesn't even start till today is Tuesday. And I think the trial is scheduled to start tomorrow.
Okay.
And so that would be what, the 17th?
Yep.
August 17th. Mm-hmm. So it's a trial fixing case. So they were selecting the jury today, which I think would have been difficult. And of course they had arguments about that. But I think the case is really interesting because so the central focus of the trial is on whether Kelly threatened and paid off a girl who he had sex with, videotaped himself, having sex with her. He was about 30 and she was, quote, no older than 14.
Oh, God.
So that's That's the thing. So this was in 2008. Remember that whole child pornography trial? And he was found not guilty. So they said that the jury later explained they felt they had no choice because the girl didn't testify. The woman, is now in her 30s and she won't be testifying. So she will be called. She was called minor one in the first one. And they're going to, which is interesting because this is, it seems like that you can't be tried again. If you're acquitted in one, how could you be tried again? But
because their new evidence came to light of the paying, maybe trying to pay them off.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, cause maybe that's it. Cause now they're saying that he fixed it.
Yeah.
So it's really not the same trial, but so this woman is going to testify now. Mm-hmm. And, so he, there's some other women too. There's four counts of enticement of minors for sex. There's four other accusers. They are also expected to testify. And then they basically, I think the whole idea is that they say Kelly threatened and sought to pay off minor one, which is this woman, and her parents. So they went and testified in 2008 and none of them did. So that's how he got off, because none of them testified against him.
Because he paid them off.
So, or threatened him.
Or threatened him. Okay.
And so now they're back in court and this, I mean, and it's really weird. It says she is expected to testify that she was the one on a video having sex with R. Kelly. The recording was at the heart of the month-long 2008 trial and was played for jurors almost every day. A month-long trial, and they played this 14-year-old girl, which is statutory rape. They played that for those jurors every day. Like, why do you need to do that every day? That's just messed up, ain't it?
The whole thing is, yeah.
So she's already been victimized, and it said that she met him in the late 1990s. She was in junior high, and she went with her aunt to R. Kelly's recording studio in Chicago. She was a professional singer working with him, and then that's how it all started. Mm-hmm. And so this poor girl who was in junior high school was, you know, he had sex with her, and then to know that that's being replayed for these people every day. I don't think I could show up in trial.
No.
At the trial.
No.
I mean, that would just be hell.
I don't understand, you know, when that gets played all those times. And that was the one where he was acquitted on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The book by John Seidel about this, he's a reporter with the Sun-Times. And he's been documenting. He's one of the first ones to kind of blow the case about R. Kelly. When he was the only one that was kind of covering it and digging way back. And he wrote a book about this, so it doesn't cover the latest the convictions and the trials, but it leads everything up, and it really just shows you what a strange, entitled, almost just, you know, crazy way of thinking in life that this man led, and why anyone would be surprised that he does this sort of shit, you know.
And when he's got money and he's like,
yeah,
you know, everybody wants to be friends with you when you're a super famous singer and you're R. Kelly, and that's the problem. A lot of people like that just have so many people around them that are going to say yes and not no.
Mm-hmm.
And so no, there's no checks and balance for people like that. They're used to getting whatever they want. And if I want to have sex with a 14-year-old, I can do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to video it. I mean, that's pretty bold to video yourself doing that.
Well, he proved to himself that he could get away with it. They played the video of him doing it with his Soul Train Award in the background. And the jury still said, nah, man, we don't think so.
Yeah, but she's not here to testify against you, so. So we'll see. I think this could be very different.
Well, he's already going to jail pretty much till he's in his late 80s. So, and I don't think he's going to last more than
year, honestly.
And it's just sad. And I've said it before, and I still think it's sad. You know, he really is a very talented person. And he made choices in his life that were just unacceptable choices. Like, you can't do that shit.
It's a total waste of a talent and what an amazing skill set. But what an absolutely horrific, horrible human being that I'm not going to be sad when he's dead. You know, it's like, good riddance. It's just, it did not work out well. Put a lot of interesting music out there, but I mean, does anybody, maybe it'll be like re-listened to or re-imagined with a generation that doesn't remember him anymore, you know, many, many, many years from now. This other one, a New Jersey woman beat her 80-year-old mom to death with a broomstick. Oh, wow. She's like a witch. Authorities have charged Gloucester County woman with beating her 80-year-old mother to death with a broomstick last week. Loretta A. Barr, 65, of Washington Township, struck her mother multiple times with a broomstick during a dispute on August 6, according to court records. Florence Drisco suffered head and chest injuries and died days later in the hospital in Philadelphia. Barr was originally charged with second-degree aggravated assault after police responded to an apartment on Woodmont Circle in Washington Township for a report of domestic disputes. Barr grabbed her mother by the arms and fell on top of her, according to the first criminal complaint filed by Washington Township Police. Drisco initially complained of pain in her arms and showed signs of injury to both arms, police said in the report. The extent of her injuries was discovered when Drisco was taken to Jefferson Washington Township Hospital and evaluated by emergency room staff, who diagnosed her with a brain bleed, broken ribs, and compacted vertebrae, police stated. She was then transported to Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia, where she died Tuesday, according to the Gloucester County Prosecutor's Office. An autopsy determined that she died of blunt force trauma to her head and chest. Following her mother's death, Barr was additionally charged with first-degree aggravated manslaughter and fourth-degree weapons possession. In an additional complaint filed by Gloucester County Prosecutor's Office Detective Christopher Popper, authorities said Drisco told police that her daughter struck her with a broomstick several times on her side of the head. Barr was held in Salem County Correctional Facility pending a detention hearing next week. Her attorney did not immediately respond to a request for comment from NJ.com.
No, because the attorney's like, what the hell? Why did I get stuck with this one?
What the fuck?
I know I'm a court-appointed attorney, but please.
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't even, like, that's just so, that's horrific. You have to really, really beat somebody to do that kind of damage with a broomstick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's her mother.
Is it a metal broom? Just, I suppose like a wooden one would probably be the most blunt, you know?
But I'm like, so if her mom was what, 80, you said?
Around there.
This woman has to be like, she could be anywhere from 50, 60 years old. And I don't know how old she is, but like, walk away. Like, if your mom made you that mad, walk away. How could you get that mad at an 80-year-old? Liquor, drugs.
Yeah, I mean, you want to hope, you know, drugs were involved. But
I mean, that's just sad. And once again, it's probably a situation where they've had a horrible relationship for a really, really, really long time.
I'd love to hear the other side of the story, because in no way does it justify beating your 80-year-old mother to death with a broomstick. But I am curious as to what kind of codependent, manipulative, abusive relationship was this. You know, if it was any of those things. But I'm going to guess maybe it kind of was, for that sort of a reaction to come out of her when, you know, killing her mom. That, you know, when you see the stories of someone getting stabbed, and there's a big difference between somebody getting stabbed once or twice and somebody getting stabbed 87 times. And it's usually because there's some sort of passion there. And whether it be, you know, family, lover, whatever it may be, there's something there that makes people do shit like that, or like this with a broomstick. So again, doesn't justify anything, but if the dynamics are like a fucking ticking time bomb, you know,
I guess they were.
Some people can look at that and go, I'm not surprised. There's plenty of people out there that I know that are not in my my purview or my my circle, but I know that I joke in the horrible, horrible ways to myself sometimes, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that ended in a murder-suicide. Shit like that. Because it's just like, you just kind of see things coming sometimes with people, and you're like, well, nothing you can really do about it. Like, I predict this is going to happen. Like, no one's going to take kindly to that sort of prediction.
And I just don't, but it makes no sense to me when you're that age, because my guess is they were probably living together and shouldn't have been. Or if they weren't living together, it's like, what the hell happened to bring that on?
People getting triggered by all sorts of shit. Yeah. And we don't really have a lot of coping mechanisms right now, it seems, or people don't really know how to cope with much. Or my other thought is everybody's coping bucket just fucking overflowing, and now anything is setting people off? Did COVID and all that fuck with people so much? We're just kind of coping with whether you were, you know, doing masks, not doing masks, whatever you were, doesn't matter. We were all there and all getting angry at each other and just trying to deal with life for those 2 years that were like that. That was coping as well. There was a lot of coping that we all did through some of that, no matter how normal your life was.
Here's the thing. I never even got in an argument with anybody when I was dealing with all of that.
No, like, no. And I didn't really either. But the thought was just you're coping with this new reality, and we didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. And so I think, like, and it was like life changing coping shit. It wasn't like, oh, my lizard died, and you know, I'm coping with that, or helping my daughter cope with that. It's like, holy shit, like, this could be like the rest of our life type shit. How are we going to deal with this?
Well, I think there's more, and maybe that factors in, but I think a lot of these situations are people with mental illness or drugs and alcohol issues. Yeah. And
I'm just saying,
you know, and so it could have been exacerbated by that.
That's what I think. I just feel like there's been so much that's been exacerbated by it. And we're seeing the mental health toll that whole shit show put on society. I mean, we're just beginning to see the repercussions of all of that. It's going to be very interesting as the young folks that were like Harper, that age, how that all kind of plays out. Because she stayed in school. We did stuff online for a year. But there's literally millions of kids in this country that have never been re-enrolled.
Well, exactly. And that, you know, you're a good dad. And so you made sure that she had stimulation and you really went out of your way to make sure she's doing what she needs to do. But, you know, there's other kids at home and they didn't, you know, mom still had to go to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, or they don't even have the internet.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to get in a car to go pull up next to the library.
Or which is, I think, a bigger part of the population. They're just shitty people. They're just shitty parents. There's a lot of parents, you know, that are in those situations without a doubt. But there's just so many shitty parents that even if they have those things available, they aren't using them to help their kids.
Oh, I'm going to agree with you on that. And there are a lot of shitty parents.
And that's where, you know, I mean, come on. At this point, where the fuck did they all go? I mean, you want to like look at one of the biggest things that people should be investigating? That. Let's figure out where the fuck these kids are. Because they're off the radar.
I don't remember what the number is in Kansas, but it was in the thousands.
Yeah.
Of kids that never, they don't know.
They don't.
Like, where'd they go?
It's insanely scary to think about. I mean, where did they go? Are they just sitting at home and mom or dad or whatever is too methed out to re-enroll them into school and there's nobody else around to make that happen?
And then I just worry about them, because what happens to them? You know, how do they get through life?
They don't. It becomes a cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Handyman accused of defrauding elderly woman of $118,000, the sheriff's office said. Looks like it's a trio here. This is from Georgia and Fox 5. Law enforcement officers arrested three men accused of defrauding a 90-year-old woman out of her life savings. Robert John Christwell, 39, Kyle Dwayne Dover, 28, and Hunter Chase Hammett, 23, were all charged with exploitation of the elderly. The Floyd County Sheriff's Office said they defrauded a woman from Armorici out of $118,000 when she wrote them as many as 33 checks for various work that was occasionally incomplete, according to investigators. The woman hired the men for tree work and hanging shutters. Investigators said some trees and shrubs were left on the property and the shutters were barely attached. Trailers filed with pine saws or filled with pine saws, rogue tree surgeons and traveling paving companies will often exaggerate damage and embellish their skill level to give hope to victims who might only need small repairs. A sheriff's office spokesperson wrote in a press release, in return for little or no work being done, these scammers often drive away with small fortunes. The woman wrote several checks to the men, and in some cases, they would follow her to the bank for their cash. The sheriff's office encouraged people to look after neighbors and elderly family members and contact investigators about suspicious activity.
Now, they didn't say anything in there, but since they caught the people, I just hope they were able to recover some of the money.
Oh, I'm sure there's
some items that were purchased that they could sell just to help her get back some of that money.
I'm sure these people are really wise with their investments. So I'm sure it's all going to be there. It's not going to be with a stripper. It's not going to be with a meth dealer. It's
in a crack pipe.
No, it's going to be probably in an IRA or something. You know, got to look for the future. So
there's that place in hell for, you know, because it's not like she can go out and work again and make that money again. And if she had that money, that was to go to her. And then she's in her 90s. So she needs it for housing. And that just makes me sick.
With the way things are going, the story in 20 years is going to be, and the three men were shot in the head by grandma who is packing.
But, you know, it's really, really easy for people to take advantage of elderly people. And my mom is in her 80s. And I don't know if I've shared this on this show before.
That you turned her on to Amway and made her the salesperson of the year.
Right. Yes. And then she's so proud. She's so proud. Job. She got her hair done. No, she got a phone call that my nephew called her and he was in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed money to get out of jail. And it was very detailed. He had, he was texting while he was driving. No, sure. He shouldn't have been. Hit a woman. The woman's going to sue him. He's in jail. To get out of jail, they need $7,000. So my mom's home health aide texted me. And she goes, so one of your relatives is in jail. And I'm like, no, one of my relatives is not in jail. I have a very small family. I've got extended family, but I don't really know them or keep in touch with them. So when somebody says, a family member's in jail, that has to be a niece or a nephew, a brother, a sister, like that kind of immediate family.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, nobody's in jail. Like I would hear about it. And she goes, no, somebody's in jail. They're on the phone with your mom right now. Why would they call my mom? Like who would call my mom?
Exactly.
You know? And so when I did call my mom, because she said, your mom's really upset. And they told her not to tell anybody. And I said, well, I'm going to call her. She's the home health aide. It's like, please don't tell her I told you. So I just said, hey, did you get a weird call? Because I got a weird call. And mom, it was the weirdest thing. It was like she was a whole other person. She was so freaked out. And she 100% believed my nephew's stuck in jail, not going to get out unless she can help him, not supposed to tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And if she was able to drive, but she can't because she had a stroke, if she was able to drive, she would have gone to the bank and given him everything she had. And I told her, no, mom, this didn't happen. Not true. And she's just yelling at me. She's so upset. And I said, I'm going to call Chris down. He's in jail. You can't talk to him. I said, well, let's just find out. Let's see if he picks up his phone.
Yeah.
And then I was going to call his wife and she's like, do not. They said that that you cannot tell his wife. I said, Mom, Chris is in jail. Why wouldn't he tell his wife? She's going to find out sooner or later, right? And why wouldn't he talk to his dad who has a bunch of money? Yeah. Like, this makes no sense. And so I got a hold of my nephew who called her. And then once she realized, oh my God, I haven't been talking to you. I've been talking to somebody else. And so the next day I had a conversation with her. I'm like, why were you believing people on the phone and not me?
Yeah.
And my mom couldn't answer it. She's like, but Carol, they knew Chris, that I had a grandson named Chris. And I'm like, well, let's just do a little Google search on your name. And I go, it's really easy to find out who. I said, I can find out all this stuff without even subscribing to a service. I can pay a little money. I have access to all kinds of information about people.
Yeah.
You can find out who, you know, you can find out their address, phone number, who they're married to, kids, you know, who lives at that address with them. Like, easy to do, but that's how easy it is to take advantage of them. And I have talked to my mom so many times about scams. So many times. Thank God they wanted the cash and wanted her to go to the bank, because she would have given him her debit card information.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have had a problem with that.
That's
just the damnedest thing, and it just pisses me off. And, you know, and that poor woman, it just makes me so sad.
There is a YouTube channel I came across by accident the other day called Scammer Payback. With a guy named Pierogi. He's got 3.3 million subscribers. And what he does is he scams the scammers back. People send him where they got scammed or what number they got scammed through. And he knows a lot of these groups and where they are and how they are. And he on camera, it's like an hour of him just scamming them back. And it's very interesting to hear the conversations, because they know of this guy. And there's been many cases where he's been able to hack into their computers, because there's been times where part of their scams are, you have a virus on your computer and they need you to go to this site or that site. And there was a point in one of the processes where they had somebody put in a dollar amount that should be transferred from the scammer's account to the person who's being scammed account, to kind of prove that this is a legit thing, so they can feel safe that they can transfer money back and forth. And it's usually a low amount of money. So, and he knows exactly where this is going to be. They're like, okay. And he has to type this in. The scammer payback does. So he types in, it's supposed to be like $400, and he types in $40,000 and hits enter. And then it initiates the transfer. And so he gets this money. And then he's like, I gotcha. And he doesn't return the money. He just steals it from the scammers.
Oh my God. That's so beautiful.
It's lovely. It's, if you want to watch something, I mean, in terms of like gotcha television or video, it's kind of like, To Catch a Predator, but this is like To Catch a Scammer almost.
Oh, I love that.
It's really good. And it's not, you know, buying advertising or anything.
My mom watch that.
Yeah, it's just done well. It's very, very much done well. Again, not an advertisement, but just a well done piece of production. A 1982 cold case murder solved by DNA and a Sunnyvale detective. This is let's see here. A Santa Clara District Attorney's Office has charged a 75-year-old resident of Hawaii with the stabbing murder of a teenage girl in 1982. Karen Stitt was last seen by her teenage boyfriend walking at night toward a Sunnyvale bus stop. The next morning, her naked body was found concealed behind a blood-stained cinder block wall. The 15-year-old Palo Alto girl had been sexually assaulted and stabbed 59 times. Despite an extensive investigation, there were no significant leads for decades until the arrest last Tuesday, August 2nd, of Gary Ramirez at his home in Makuano on the island of Maui. The next court date in the extradition proceedings is August 10th of 2022. Once Ramirez is extradited, he will be arraigned on murder, kidnapping, and rape charges. If convicted, the former Fresno man faces life in prison without the possibility of parole. So how did they do this? I believe this is DNA. But the story of the murder is pretty shitty too. On the evening of Thursday, September 2nd, 1982, Miss Stitt took the bus from her home in Palo Alto to Sunnyvale to visit her boyfriend around midnight. Miss Stitt's body, or boyfriend rather, walked her to the area of El Camino, Real, and Wolf Road to take the bus back home. Her boyfriend, worried he would get grounded for being out after his curfew, ran home after watching Miss Stitt walk towards the bus stop. Her body was found about 100 yards from the bus stop the next morning. Killer left both his blood and bodily fluid on Miss Stitt. Miss Stitt's boyfriend, long considered a suspect for her murder, was cleared based on the DNA evidence. Beginning in early 2019, Sunnyvale DPS Detective Matt Hutchinson used a tip to determine that Karen Stitt's killer was likely one of four brothers from Fresno. In late of April 2022, Gary Ramirez was identified as the likely source of blood and bodily fluid left at the Karen Stitt crime scene. The Santa Clara County DA's crime lab confirmed the identification last week. The operation to arrest Ramirez took months of planning and was coordinated effort involving the Santa Clara County, Maui, and federal law enforcement authorities. It was funded largely by a grant awarded to the DA's office in 2021 by the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute cold cases. Ramirez grew up and attended a high school in Fresno. He served in the U.S. Air Force in the early 70s. After leaving the military, Ramirez frequented or resided in the Bay Area or the peninsula in other areas, including San Diego, Colorado, and Hawaii. So there you go. DNA evidence coming back to the rescue.
And it sounds like good detective work.
It does.
Too. And the other thing that really bothers me is that poor boyfriend, all these years, everybody assumed it was him.
Yeah. How many of these cold case files are literally just sitting there and not being looked at because there's just not the manpower to do it?
Oh, my God. Every police department across the country.
You would almost think that this could turn into like a different whole department for the police department to go through these things, where it's maybe not, you know, full blown officers, but people who can look at some of this stuff, take the DNA, put it in the system, and get some of that stuff in there, so that matches can start being made, if they are able to. I don't know.
Well, and a lot of police departments have that cold case unit. Mm-hmm. And like, I have even seen there was a TV show where they had older retired cops that they were just like, look, here's some things we could never solve. And they gave these cops the the case files.
Yeah.
And they solved some of them. Because, you know, a lot of times they, you know, they get fresh eyes on it and somebody goes back and looks at everything again.
Yeah.
But this kind of sounds like they kind of knew all along, or suspected.
And then they got
for a long time, I should say.
They got the DNA evidence now.
Wow. And that's so awesome. I like that.
It's all because somebody.
It's good for the family. The boyfriend now is cleared, thank God. And this guy's been arrested.
And it's all because someone.
Who knows what else he's done?
Someone bought Aunt Edna a DNA kit at Christmas the other year. And because of that.
I love that shit.
Now. Murderers.
Be afraid. Be very afraid, all you murderers and rapists.
I'd be really fucking scared if, you know, you like, you know, made it that long. Because I think at some point you'd be like, I can kind of like let my breath down, or I don't know. But then all of a sudden all this, like, holy shit.
Like, certainly they couldn't find me through one of those, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But there you go. That's
justice. I like hearing that.
I do too. Check out that the scammer payback thing on YouTube. It's really,
oh my God, I'm totally gonna check
very
that out.
Bingeable. All right, that's gonna wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. If you like the show, keep us on the air and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of True Crime Today. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
True Crime Today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our full episodes, breaking news updates, and daily briefs from True Crime.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Find today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.